Well, let's move forward to the Word of God, and that's good, because we need to feed on God's Word. Just like we feed on food, and we want to feed our tummies this afternoon, we want to be filled with God's Word. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, God, that it's alive, that it's breathing, that, Lord God, it's meant to produce life in us and in this world, Lord. And we thank you, God, for your Word. And we pray, God, that now you would help, just by your Spirit, that it would come alive, that it becomes your Rhema Word, alive in us. And I just pray for each person, speak to them as they need to hear this morning, the very thing they need to hear. And Lord God, use me this morning for your purpose and your plan. But we just pray, God, by your Spirit, move the Word forward and let it bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about maturing as believers and growing as believers. It's really, there was a lot to say, so I can't say it in 1 week. So this is probably going to have to be more than 1 week series, because the hardest thing I did leading up to today was cutting out material, which you'll be glad that I did, right? Because the two-hour sermon, right? And nobody has ever asked me, Pastor, could you preach for 2 hours? Nobody ever does that. I'll do that on the day I preach on perseverance. That's the day I'll do that. So, but I want to start today in Luke chapter 8. I believe we have that scripture. Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. It was something that you are very familiar with, and something I think the Lord put in my heart just about us as Christians and how maturing. But I want to read this with you. So I believe starting in verse 4. Okay. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable to the people. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then ultimately it says, when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So here's Jesus telling this parable. We know it. We probably have, some of us have read this 100 times or more. It's so well known, okay? And he's telling his disciples, he's telling this crowd of people, and he knows there are those who can hear the Word of God and those who will not. There's those who will receive the Word of God and those who will not. And he talks to his disciples about sowing this seed in different soils with different results. And he explains it. He spends some time even later in this chapter speaking more and explaining this to his disciples. And he talks about the different seeds sown. And of course, he says the seed is the Word of God sown into the lives of people. And of course, we also see in Scripture that Jesus is the Word. He's literally considered, talked about as the Word that God gives forth. And we can see that God and Jesus himself is saying it's the truth, that he's the truth and he is speaking for it and he is life. He is life for those to receive. And he speaks about the different soils that will receive the Word. Okay? So there's the Word, but then there's the soil. And the soil he speaks of as like the heart. Okay? And he speaks about the conditions of the heart, the different conditions. And each condition affects the way they receive. So there's 4 different ones. The first one is the seed is sown on hard ground. Okay? It's sowed on hard ground. And these are people who have a hard heart. Okay? And they hear the Word, they hear it, but they don't receive it. So they hear it, but they don't take it into their heart. Okay, and then it says that the enemy comes quickly, like birds, the enemy comes quickly and steals it away and takes it away. So we have those with hard soil or hard hearts. The second scenario, the seed falls on rocky soil. So, okay, you have part soil, part rock, right? But the seed gets into the soil. So the word of God is heard, and it's also received. And it's even received with enthusiasm. But because their roots cannot grow deep, because of the rockiness of the soil, the roots do not grow deep. When testing comes, when difficulties happen, they fall away because they're not able to get the moisture. And we're going to talk about this, the true living waters. They're not able to get that, and testing comes and they fall away. Then there's the third scenario where the seed falls among thorns. Now, this word is received in soil, but worldliness is represented by the thorns, and it's all around this growing, this seed that is now growing. And so you see a heart where worldliness is not dealt with. So life's worries, riches, and pleasures choke out this growing word. It chokes out the working of the word, and this believer never really comes fully to maturity. And then finally, the fourth scenario is where the word falls on good soil. And this good soil refers to a good heart. A heart that receives the seed and receives it well. Now, verse 15 describes three things that are said about this heart and what the heart does, this good soil. Verse 15 speaks about this, and it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain the word, and by persevering produce a crop." So we see they hear the word, okay? They receive it in, they retain it, they hold on to it, they don't let it go, and they persevere. They persevere so that the working of this word in them actually produces life. It says it produces a crop. And of course, this crop is speaking about fruitfulness. Now the New Living Translation version of the Bible, I like this. It says, it's about the heart. It says, an honest and good-hearted person. Honest and good-hearted. I like the word because it adds honest, because I believe there's something that we need to see. The heart that's honest before God, the heart that's honest with ourselves, really allows our heart to be more tender in receiving. We're able to receive more. We're able to receive better. Because the worst thing that hurts so many people is deception. Deception is something that really hinders people from receiving the Word of God and really retaining it. Because deception is the thing that makes people reject the Word of God, because they're deceived by things of this world, and they say, no, that cannot be the truth of God. And then there are those who won't retain it because they're deceived to, again, believe that this is the life-giving word. This is what I need more than anything else. I need the word of God. I need the truth of God in me. And so they end up rejecting it, but they don't retain it. And they won't persevere because deception gets in. So an honest and true heart is one that receives and will persevere in the truth of God. So each of these are unique, but each of these we can see in reality in the working of the world today. And you might even have seen it in your own life, because even in your own life, you may have had the condition of your soil, the condition of your heart, be in different stages, in different places. Maybe it was the fact that there was hardness in your heart that had to be broken up for the soil in your heart to be more receiving and to receive the Word of God more readily and more easily. Regardless, this all does speak about what God does desire for us. He desires for us to mature. He desires for us to grow up. He desires for us to bear fruit. He wants you, he wants me to all be fruitful Christians, bearing forth a crop, to show forth maturity in the Lord. And we think about our children, our grandchildren, our friends, people we know, we all want to see them mature. We all want to see them grow up. We all want them to see them to be independent and to be able to walk on their own, to be healthy and whole. Well, God wants that too. God wants that for his children. God doesn't want us just to come to him to receive the word, but we're to grow in the word. We're to walk closely with him all the days of our life. So it's not just the goal that God wants to bring people into the kingdom of God, but to mature, to grow, and to bear forth fruit. So in this idea that we are all learning, every one of us, we come to God, but we learn to walk with God. And we're learning to walk closely with him, each and every one of us. And so our lives in Christ cannot be static. It's very important that our lives do not enter this static place. It happens to all of us, where it seems like we're kind of in a rut. We're kind of in neutral. Somebody, it's like we're not going in reverse, we're not going in drive, we're just stuck in neutral, and it seems like we're not going anywhere. Well, probably all of us have experienced that in our own spiritual life. And it's okay, because it is part of the spiritual life, but it's not where we're supposed to stay, because that's not God's ultimate plan for our lives. The plan is for us to grow, and to be fruitful. Tony Evans says this about growth of maturing Christians. He says this. He says, they are developing the ability to consistently look at life from the perspective of Holy Spirit and not the flesh. It's a growing revelation of God in our lives. So when we're growing in the Lord, we do less of looking at life in a fleshly manner, and we do a lot more of looking at life in the way that God sees life, in the way that the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit identifies, the Holy Spirit is showing us. We're getting Holy Spirit revelation. Things that we used to think one way because we're seeing things in the flesh, now we see a totally different way because the Holy Spirit is instructing us and showing us and growing us. So we all need Holy Spirit revelation. We could all get Holy Spirit revelation, but that's what, growing Christianity. We're learning to see things the way God sees things. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us. So we've got to be connected with the source. See, fleshly Christians are natural. They don't see things the way God sees them. They see the things the way they see them, by their flesh. And what we've learned, right or wrong, in this world. Oftentimes, fleshly Christians who are natural, they will follow the dictates of their flesh. What does their flesh want? What does their flesh feel? And then that's the way we go if we are fleshly Christians. But maturing Christians are learning to see from God's perspective. They're not bound by the flesh. They're not bound by what this flesh wants to do. And they can go outside of that because they can move according to the Holy Spirit. Now, we see that maturing Christians, and we experience this, we're not perfect. Maturing Christians are not perfect, but we're being perfected. And that's the difference. Because if you're growing, you're being perfected. You may not be perfect in everything. You may not always get it right. You may get some things really wrong. But then that means you're teachable, and you can go back and make corrections. Because God can put convictions in your heart and say, you know what? I did it this way for the longest time, but God's showing me that's not the way to go. That's the way of flesh. But God's showing me the way of the Spirit. And that's the way I need to walk. So I need to make some changes. And I can make changes because God can empower me to make changes. A lot of times, it's just how we think that, how we think things through and how we think about things. But maturing Christians won't always get it right. But maturing Christians are teachable, they're learning, and they're growing. And God's word becomes very important to growing Christians. God's word, the instruction of his Spirit, his presence becomes very valuable to all those who are growing in God. It becomes something very valuable. You can't put a price tag on because it's something that's so precious. A lot of times this goes back to our source. You know, a heart given over to God is a heart that is shaped by God. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants to shape our hearts, to make the soil of our hearts richer, more abundant. I don't know all the words that gardeners use, but there's a certain loam in the soil that grows things really, really well when you get the right ingredients. And there's certain soil that doesn't grow well at all. But God wants to cultivate our hearts so that things grow quite well and quite abundantly. But we have to go back to our source. You see, living water will flow quite abundantly in a heart that's shaped by God. And it's a heart that won't accept stagnancy in our lives. Because even when we do get stagnant, and we do find those places where we're stagnant in our life, that's not a place to live. That's not a place to camp. That's not a place to set up shop. In fact, that's a place to seek God all the more. It's a place to actually spend more time with the Lord and say, God, I'm stagnant. I don't know what's going on. But we know about stagnant water. It doesn't really produce life. And it honestly, it smells bad. You ever been around stagnant water where things just collect and collect and collect, but there's no release? There's no flow? Well, that we should not accept that for our lives. So we do need our heart to be dealt with. Now, it's God's will to break the dam, okay? He doesn't like beavers because beavers don't allow for flowing water. And God wants flowing rivers of life. So I'm speaking metaphorically, but it's God's will for us to walk in flowing waters. It's His will for us to grow and be fruitful. He said in John 15, we're going to look at John 15, verse 7. We have that. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking to the disciples. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If, yes, absolutely. And then I'm going to come down one more. So this is to the glory of God, right? This is to God's glory. So we have to remain in Him because there's more to the scripture. I can't get into the full treatment of this and the previous passage and before and after. But God wants us to remain in Him. Because we're not fruitful. We won't be fruitful without remaining connected to the source. And He's the source. He's the source that we need to be connected with at all times. And if we allow Him to flow into our lives, we're going to produce fruit. There's going to be fruitfulness in our lives. So God wants us to be connected to our true source. And we talked about that last week. Jesus is the living water. So we partake of Him daily. It's not just something every now, we partake of Him daily. We remain in Him. And this is so significant to our lives. We must remain in Him. The Lord will work and do mighty things in our lives. You know, sometimes we can be Christians that can actually be difficult with God. And we can tell God to kind of butt out of our lives a little bit because we kind of got things in our lives that we want to do it, and we want to do it in our certain way. We all have our stubbornness, and we know people who are also stubborn. Maybe they're in our families. Maybe they're like us. Maybe they're not like us. Maybe they're just people we've seen that they're not really allowing God to really work fully in their lives. And so they're not so much growing. And sometimes if we see other people, if we're trying to live off on yesterday's manna, you know, we're trying to live off of yesterday's manna, and we're trying to continually live off of that, we'll find some great disappointments, okay? Because we're trying to hold on to the things that we have in life, and yet God says there's more. There's more. And sometimes we camp down and we bunker down and we try to hold on to what we have, but God's trying to give us more. It's kind of like trying to take that living water, to try to hold it in our hands and to carry it with wherever we're going and to continue to have that living water just by carrying it in our hands. And we think, right, that's going to have some kind of lasting effect. But we know what happens when you put water in your hands, right? We know eventually it's going to seep out to the where there's no water in your hands. So you can't grab hold of the living water and carry it around with you. You really have to have a different mindset, and that is to stay in the water. Stay in the water. Stay with your source. Because it's the continual source of living water. It's not just something that you can hold on to and live off yesterday's manna. You need refreshed, renewed manna each and every day. And the source of the living water in us, we really literally must be rooted in the living water day in and day out. And it will cause us to grow. So I have this revelation of life. And part of this revelation is just very, very, very simple. Is this, I have grown. I have grown in the Lord, as you have grown in the Lord. I am growing in the Lord, as you are growing in the Lord. And, oh man, do I need to grow in the Lord? See, there's several things there. Because the reality is, I've grown. But again, there's yesterday's manna, praise God for it, and there's yesterday's testimonies, which are wonderful testimonies. And they're still absolutely valid and important. And I am growing presently. God is doing things in my life, and doing things in your life is wonderful. But I also realize it's like, oh man, Lord, I need to grow. And that's just the revelation of saying, it's not to beat ourselves up or to feel poor old me. It's just to simply say, God, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I know and I see some things in my life. And God, you reveal some things in my life. It's like, Lord, I feel so weak in this area. Or I feel like I'm so immature in this area. And that's okay. Because that revelation is a beautiful thing. It just means stay in the water. Stay in the water. Don't get out. Don't live off yesterday's manna. So we are maturing. And it's not what I'm looking at. I'm not sitting here saying, thinking of yesteryear, but I'm looking at what God will do in me. Hallelujah. So I am maturing, and as I am maturing, more fruit is growing in my life. So I hope that your mindset, which is very important in all this, your mindset is very important, that we are growing. It's continual. We don't stop growing. Now, you may have stopped physically growing around 17 or 18 or whatever time physically. And maybe actually you're going in reverse now. But we don't stop growing spiritually. We don't spiritually stop growing. Just grow, we need to grow from glory to glory to glory. Into glory. Right? And that's our mindset of how we think about these things. So stagnancy is not allowed in Christian life. If it's a place we find ourselves, it's a place we need to move out from. Okay. You know, when one of my children comes to me and tells me about their body pains, we do an interview, right? Well, kind of interview of, well, did you fall down? You know, did you hurt yourself? Did you hit something? Did you knock into something? Did something knock into you? Did you get into maybe a little scuffle with your brother or sister? You know, we do these interviews. And then when everything turns up negative, we don't know if there's any reasonable way that physically they would have a bruise or a hurt, right, in their elbow or their knee or whatever it is, then we chalk it up to one thing. We say, well, sweetie, you just must have growing pains, right? You must just have growing pains. Because every child gets them. Every child, eventually they hear that knee and it kind of hurts. It's like, and for days they're kind of walking funny and they just feels a little tweak in their knee or in their elbow. It just doesn't feel right. And it hurts and they come and say, it hurts. It's like, well, I believe, honey, that's just growing pains. You're going to get those. And it's good. Because what does it mean? It means you're growing. And that's a good thing. So growing pains tell us that we're growing. And sometimes there's pains that come along with that. There's uncomfortableness that can come along with that. And there's awkwardness that come along with that. Do you remember when you became a young teenage boy or a young teenage girl and your body was growing up real fast? Were you the most graceful thing alive? Did you move with grace like a gazelle? No, you probably were a little bit on the awkward side. I remember those times where you grew up fast and you were getting used to your new body. But you were a little awkward. At times, you were a little clumsy. You tripped when you didn't trip before. And you're like, my goodness, what is this? Because you weren't used to this growing body as of yet. So we can be that way. We can trip as we're growing up until we get our solid footing. You know, sometimes it feels weird to be holy. You ever had those experiences? It's like, it's weird to be holy. Because, Lord, I'm used to being unholy in certain areas. I mean, maybe you were a cussing sailor. But there was a point in life where it says, no, the Lord's bringing a conviction in my heart that that's not supposed to flow. In fact, my heart's supposed to flow with edifying words and blessings, and that was not, that's not, that salty language is not working. So you had to learn to walk in a new way, in a different way. And it felt weird to not cuss until you learn to get used to your new body, until you learn to overcome the awkwardness of certain growing that you were doing in your spiritual life. And that's the way it can be. It can be uncomfortable as we're growing in an area that, you know, honestly is not very godly. And yet we're growing into this newness of God. It can feel clumsy at first, and we can trip, and we can fall, and we can stumble until we get used to getting our solid footing. Well, growth does take a certain mindset. And the certain mindset is that change is a good change when it's a God change. Do we know that change is a good change when it's a God change? Sometimes we don't like change. We don't like change. It doesn't feel comfortable. It feels uncomfortable to have this new creation working out in us, this holiness of God in us. And we don't see ourselves that way. Oh, God, I'm not holy. All the stuff that I did. But then we need to use past tense, did, and realize, wait, there's a new creation here now. And I need to get used to what it means and to walk in this new body, this new creation, and start becoming comfortable with holiness. Because he's given us his son and the righteousness of God. And so when he looks at us, he sees righteousness, but that's, he sees Jesus. And so that's what we need in our lives. We need more of Jesus, more and more of him, and to identify more and more with him. So I will keep going with God. That's my mindset. I'm going to keep going with God, even though this new way of life feels clumsy to me. It feels a little clumsy. I'm trying to get solid footing. And we need it, of course, not only does God give us grace, but we need to give grace to each other. Sometimes when we see other Christians stumble and trip up, it's just because they're getting used to their new bodies. They're just getting used to what it is to be holy in an area that they weren't holy in. We look at the disciples, right? I mean, think about it. We watched the disciples walk with Jesus for 3 years. Were they clumsy at times? Oh, yeah, they were very clumsy at times. Did they trip up? Yeah, they tripped up. They tripped up in their words. They tripped up in their actions. They did things that they thought they wouldn't do, but they said they wouldn't do, and they did it anyway. They were clumsy as they were walking with Jesus. But Jesus is okay with that. Keep walking with him. Keep going with him. Don't stop. And that's growing Christianity. So we know that maturity does not come from passive inactivity. It does not come from casual attention. Because the disciples were with Jesus day in and day out. It wasn't passive. It was very active. They had to be corrected. They had to be taught. They were confused at times. They were befuddled at times. They thought Jesus was crazy at times. I mean, let's just be honest. They thought Jesus was a lunatic for saying some of the things he said. They wouldn't say it, because they really believed he was the Messiah, but he said some things that were really far out there and sometimes downright offensive. But they didn't leave him, as some did. And they learned to walk with Jesus, and maturity was taking place in them. Just note, if we never risk the prospect of failure, we'll never risk very much in life. And this greatly limits our ability to spiritually grow. If we play it safe in life, the limitations to our spiritual growth are, there's a ceiling on us, because we're not willing to take risk. When Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water, he's taking a great risk. People think he's crazy. You can't walk on water, Peter. Why are you going to do that? But it says, Jesus, if you tell me I can do it. And he gets out of the boat, and he walks on water, and he falls in the water too. He gets out of the water, he walks on water, and he falls in the water. He gets all wet, It's a success and a failure at the same time. But do you think Peter learned from that? I think he learned so much more than those who stayed in the boat and watched it. I mean, it was a testimony to them. But they didn't get out of the boat. Peter did. I think one reason why Peter was such a great leader in the early church, he risked. He risked even looking foolish and getting all wet. And I think sometimes as Christians, we need to risk looking foolish and getting all wet. Because sometimes we're not going to grow very much without some risk taking. I can tell you in my own life, I've missed it because I didn't take risk. I played it safe. I know there's been times in my life, and God's even shown me looking back, saying, wow, I played it safe there and I miss God. I miss God. And looking back, I know, like, yeah, that was God. He was telling me to step out, take a risk, and I didn't do it. Maybe there's times I did, but there's times I didn't. And I know I miss those growth moments in my life. The Lord's patient. The Lord is kind. The Lord is good. He gives you opportunities. He helps us grow. But it was really slowing down what God was trying to do. God wants us to grow. And I know there's been times where I've missed it. Well, we do need to take risk failures. Because it's in risking failures that amazing things happen. Miracles happen. Miracles take place. They don't really take place when we play it safe. And sometimes it's just knowing and God confirming that we do hear from Him, that we do hear His voice, because we can step and act in faith and God can meet us there in those times. And we can show us, like, yes, Lord, I did hear you. So sometimes it is forgetting about ourselves and our reputation and our comfort to grow in the way that God wants us to grow. So there's a lot of things that hinder our growth. I'm not going to go all into it today. But a lot of it is just us desiring more of God, desiring more of Him, and realizing that what He's doing in us is a beautiful thing, and He has the ability to grow us in areas that sometimes we think He can't. Because sometimes our experience tells us, this is broken, this is broken, this is broken, this is broken. And we can repeat that all we want, but we can also come to Him and say, Lord, I believe you heal broken things. I believe you heal. You heal this, you heal that in my life, you did this, you did that in my life. But then there's these other things that seem so broken, sometimes irreparably so. But God wants to do so much more in us. And so we have to have faith, we have to believe, and we have to know that God can do it. Now I'm going to kind of go through this really quick, but there's times in our life when we're early in Christian walk that we don't have a whole lot of waiting ability. You can imagine if you tell a four-year-old they can have candy, their waiting ability is short, right? Is short. Now, an eight-year-old would have a longer waiting ability. And then, of course, an adult should have a much longer waiting ability, right? So I say, no, I want the candy. I want the candy now. But we can. We can wait longer. It's that delayed gratification, right? So we know what's age appropriate. So oftentimes it seems like when people, you know, and sometimes it's frustrating, when you become an early Christian and we pray and we ask for things, it seems like God answers it immediately. God just answers it right away so quickly because it's a baby Christian and they need milk, and they need milk in a certain immediate fashion. But then it seems like when we grow and we pray about things and we're maturing, it seems like God doesn't always immediately answer things the way we want them to be answered. That's not actually a sign, a terrible sign that God doesn't love you. It's just the fact that He's saying, there's growth and you are growing. And I believe that you can delay the answer. And your waiting and your perseverance and your patience is actually part of your growth. So I can say more about that. But sometimes the reality is we don't always get prayers answered right away because it's part of our growth. Can you imagine Abraham and Isaac? I mean, Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. They're waiting for Isaac, the promised child. But it took years and years and years and years. It was this long, drawn out. And you see, they did grow impatient. They did make mistakes. They were clumsy in their growth process, but God was growing something in them to bring them a promise of great proportions. And you know, sometimes when God's bringing something of greater level, greater proportions, greater significance, it's going to take time. And it's going to take growth, internal growth. that needs to happen and take place. So rejoice. So rejoice. And don't get sad and drawn out. It's like, Lord, where's the milk? No, he's saying there's something else. There's something else I have for you. And it's greater, it's bigger, it's more, and it's going to cause a greater growth in your life. So God loves you. He has compassion upon you, but you are his child. And his desire, like you as a parent, ever, grandparent, whatever, you want your children to grow. And you know you have to delay gratification. You know there's lessons to learn. There's things along the way that are not easy. There are bumps in the road. There's a lot of things that God wants us to grow in. And this is my last thing. Now you can give praise to God, right? Glory to God. But you know about the caterpillar, right? Who becomes the butterfly. You know about that, right? So I'm probably not telling you anything new. But when the caterpillar climbs up the tree and makes its cocoon and forms in its little, what becomes this casing around it, it's stuck until it changes and transforms. And then we know then, if you know anything about butterflies and caterpillars, it has to push against the cocoon. It has to break the cocoon from the inside. It has to break out, and it's not easy. It's hard. It doesn't happen right away. And it has to push and push and push against the cocoon to break that cocoon. And when it does, its wings spread out and eventually fully expand to where it's a beautiful butterfly can fly off. But if you try to have the kind of worldly compassion that sometimes people try to have, a worldly compassion, and you try to go to that cocoon and break it out of that cocoon, maybe you get a little knife and you just try to cut it open, maybe cut a little slit so it makes it easier for the butterfly to get out, you're actually doing a great disservice to that butterfly who, by doing that, you actually cripple. You've crippled the butterfly. Because it was actually in the pushing and the exhortation and the force and the time it took to do it allowed the blood to flow all through and push into the wings in every crevice of the wings. And that blood brings life. We know that blood brings life. It brings oxygen. It brings everything is needed for the life of those wings. So to break and to help and to assist, even with compassion, to assist that butterfly out externally and not internally is to do a great disservice to that butterfly, because now you have a butterfly that never will have wings that spread. It will always have crippled wings. So God says, no, you need to push. You need to exert. You need to press against, because I'm doing something inside of you that needs to break forth. But it's part of your growth, and I can't short circuit this. I can't give you the easy button. I can't just say, oh, it's all going to be rainbows while you're going through it, because it feels like pressure, because it is pressure. It feels like exerting, because it is exerting force. So it's every prayer that you pray. It's every worship song that you sing unto him. It's every consecration of your life given over to him. It's every time that you meditate in God's word and get God's truth inside of you and let his word do a living work inside of you. It's his truth working on the inside of you. It's every declaration of God's word over your life and over your circumstances. It's every time you act in faith. It's every time you get with other believers to encourage one another. It's every time you humble yourself to serve another person, even washing their feet. It's every time you're pushing against that cocoon. It is your maturity. It is your growth. There is no easy button. But we walk with the Lord, and we allow him to help us take the steps forward. Because he wants us to fly. He wants us to be abundant. He wants us to be amazing, beautiful, and what he is doing and creating in our lives. So don't give up this morning. Don't give up. If you feel tired, don't give up. Spend more time with him. Press into him more, because he has something for you.